case is 96-522, District Council versus Kimberly Joy Trumbo. Justice Cook has recused herself, and we're pleased to have sitting in the place of Justice Cook, Judge Peggy Bryan, who's a judge of the Court of Appeals, sitting for the 10th District.
Welcome.
Judge Bryan. And Justice Resnick, rather, excuse me, has recused herself, and we're pleased to have sitting in the place of Justice Resnick, Judge Donna Bowman, who is a judge of the Court of Appeals, also for the 10th District.
Welcome.
Ms. Brown.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I need to clear up somewhat of a difficulty for Relator in this case. We were just informed about 5 minutes ago that respondent had filed a response to the show cause order. Relator was not served with that response, and I had no idea that Mr. Trumbo would appear today and argue, so I would like to reserve about 5 minutes of my time, please.
Okay. Yes. There's a certificate of service, but that doesn't mean, of course, that it's necessary that it was mailed to you. But we'll ask Mr. Trumbo. Wait, Mr. Trumbo, we'll wait until you argue, and then you can explain it. Please.
In fact, I called the clerk's office last week because I hadn't received anything, and they confirmed nothing had been filed, so I'm...
Well, we have a document that's entitled Respondent's Response to Order to Show Cause, and it's file stamped March 29th by our clerk's office, so I'm sorry for the... If there's been a miscommunication from our office, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Ms. Brown?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that we're here specifically on penalty only?
Yes.
I mean, almost all the things have been stipulated with regard to the violations.
Yes.
The panel and the board both said, I believe, 2 years and 1 year stayed with conditions.
That's correct.
Is there some reason, what is the major reason we should not follow the panel and the board?
There are two major reasons. The first reason is that I believe that the panel and the board both misconstrued the mitigation evidence in this case. The panel made some comment in its report about many mitigation witnesses. Well, in fact, there were four mitigation witnesses. There was a lawyer who was retired, Sheriff Gerald McFall from Cleveland, Judge Tim McMonigal, and respondent's mother, Judge Sarah Harper. There was a letter from the psychiatrist that was also considered by the panel. The letter was two sentences long, I believe. That's in Relator's brief. And the psychiatrist didn't testify. In fact, Relator was provided with the letter. This hearing was on a Monday. Relator was provided with the letter on the Friday before the hearing, notwithstanding the fact that Relator had, throughout the course of the investigation, based on the conduct, based on the behavior, asked for some type of possibility that there might be a psychiatric issue. We were provided with nothing. We also believe that when Judge Harper testified, she brought up for the first time the issue of whether her daughter was somehow influenced by the fact that she's the daughter of two judges. Well, that was brought up as sort of a, we're looking for a reason for this, we don't know what to say, how about this? Well, there was no development of that argument, there was nobody came in and fleshed out the argument, it was just maybe that's the solution.
Do you think that influenced the panel on the board? Because it's obvious here there were at least 30 violations.
Yes.
And they knew about all those 30 violations.
Yes.
Do you think that was a... important factor to them?
I do think so. I also think, Judge, that one of the most important issues was the fact that we stipulated to the conduct, the misconduct, we stipulated to the violations. Consequently, we didn't call any witnesses. There were no live bodies. None of the damaged clients got up on the stand and said, and I'm not suggesting they would get up there and cry, but they did not show their hurt and their damage from her conduct.
Well, the damage is pretty obvious.
Yes.
At least some of it. I mean,
yes.
This is the worst case, frankly, the worst case of just consistent lying to judges, to the system, and to clients that I've ever seen in a disciplinary case. I guess I'm wondering, same as Justice Douglas, is why this recommended disposition by the board seems to me to be incredibly light. Unless there's some explanation that isn't coming to my attention, but in view of our recent cases where we're trying to give a message to lawyers, honesty with clients, with courts, and with others is fundamental to our system. I don't know how we give someone just a year off. I know you're not the one to answer that, but I appreciate your effort to explain the mitigation. The suggestion that she's the daughter of two judges would suggest to some that she might have a higher appreciation for honesty than a lower one. I don't understand that argument, I guess.
I would certainly agree.
It wasn't developed. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I think also that the fact that her mother testified and I expected her mother to testify. I mean, we weren't surprised by that at all, that part of the mitigation evidence. You brought up an interesting point also, looking for answers. Judge Williams, who was part of the panel, once he read the psychiatrist's letter, if you look at the record throughout the hearing, he continuously asked respondent's counsel, so what about this letter? What's the prognosis? Well, there wasn't one. There's nothing in the letter, no live testimony from the psychiatrist, no answer to his question.
The reason I asked you or started you with that question is because all the members of our board, of course, our panel are good, solid people, or we wouldn't appoint them. But when you look at this particular panel, a judge, James Williams, a police sergeant from the police department, and the former president of the State Fire Association as a panel. And then I looked at the penalty, I began to think, they saw all these people. That's not a very light or easy or whatever you want to term a panel. Why would it have come out this way? And I guess I go right to your base of the final issue, which is, you say an indefinite suspension.
Yes.
They say, in effect, 1 year out. So we're to choose, I guess, all the way from a dismissal to a disbarment. But really, our parameters are now the board to yours.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we say an indefinite suspension when you have this kind of panel sitting the witnesses and hearing the facts, making that judgment?
I don't think there's any question in this case that indefinite suspension is appropriate. Because of the nature of the misconduct and the nature of the violations, the respondent should be required to meet the burden of clear and convincing evidence to establish that she should be readmitted to the practice of law. In this case, it should not be a matter of a mere formality after a year out that she would come in under supervised probation. This is well beyond that, in our opinion, that she should be required, there should be a hearing for reinstatement. She should have to meet the burden to show that she is qualified to assume the responsibilities of this profession. I don't think at this point you could even guess that that might happen. I don't know.
I wanted to ask you, Justice Douglas referred to the persons that the panel saw. Was there testimony? I thought you said there was not. Was there testimony from...
We later had
not from clients who were affected.
No, just mitigation witnesses.
Yes.
And in fact, that's also interesting because the respondent testified on her own behalf. And I remember a particular instance where one of the panel members asked the respondent a question. She responded to the question, but in my opinion, it was not a correct response. But since I had no witnesses, they were asking her factual questions and she was giving them answers, which if I had witnesses, I would have called a witness. So, you know, I mean, I was very definitely, because we had stipulated, I didn't believe they would ask her any factual questions.
Well, isn't that the problem that you run into when you enter into a stipulation? You're not forced to enter into a stipulation, are you?
No, not at all. We're encouraged to. But.
So you had an opportunity that you so desired not to enter into a stipulation, knowing ahead of time those witnesses wouldn't testify, correct?
Yes, I knew ahead of time, yes.
You went ahead, entered in the stipulation. Now, I don't know why you're now arguing that, gee whiz, we entered into a stipulation, we couldn't call witnesses, and we couldn't rebut some of the stuff. Why are you arguing that now? You entered in the stipulation, you knew you couldn't have witnesses, so that's a consequence that you knew you would have.
Except, Your Honor, if a panel member then asks a witness about something that's already been stipulated, and she gives a response inconsistent or outside of the stipulations, then I feel that I objected to his question.
Did you ask that you bring in a witness and rebut what she had said in her testimony?
That's definitely what my objection was. I said that his question was outside the record.
But did you ask that? Did you ask that of the panel? Now, I think this is something that I need to rebut. Can you call a witness? And they said no.
I told them I would like to call a witness. They convened and said, we won't ask any more questions like that, is basically what their answer was. So, I just wanted you to be aware that occurred at the hearing. They asked, they responded questions.
Well, is it your impression that is the panel precluded from asking questions of the witness that the stipulations entered into between the parties?
Yes. Yes, other than to clarify a matter.
They're precluded from that?
Yes.
Okay. So you felt that the panel then went outside of what was allowed, and you were unable to reinforce or rebut that which was asked and answered?
Very definitely.
Okay.
Well, we find in the record of those who did testify in mitigation, any explanation for the respondent's conduct, this pattern of lying, making up stories about traffic accidents, this pattern of lying, really, I don't understand. Well, anyway, was there anybody try to explain? I mean, there's a doctor's letter which doesn't, you say it doesn't really help, and it's filed late, and is there any explanation for it?
The only, respondent's mother, on direct examination by respondent's counsel, was asked, which Kimberly Trumbo was the real Kimberly Trumbo. And she said she didn't know. She knew that the person who was concocting stories and lying was not the real Kimberly Trumbo, but she wasn't sure anymore. It was almost like the witnesses were offering their theories of what might possibly be wrong. It was traced, in fact, all the way back to respondent's grade school years, when she experienced difficulty being the only black student in an all-white school. That was brought out for the first time at the hearing by respondent's mother, and then again by respondent on direct examination. But that was never fully developed outside of the hearing, outside of testimony and mitigation. And as I stand here today, I don't know if that's true or not. Perhaps she was influenced, and perhaps she is somehow psychologically influenced by being the daughter of two judges. But our position is that was not developed, not proven, and should not be used as mitigation evidence to reduce the appropriate disciplinary penalty in this case, which is an indefinite suspension. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Mr. Trumbo.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. May I please the court. My name is George W. Trumbo. I'm appearing on behalf of my daughter and on behalf of Mr. George Forbes, who is not able to be here this morning. And I did not come here this morning with the intention of defending anything that happened in the hearing. I was present at the hearing, but I was not the lawyer at the hearing. I was not counsel at the hearing. However, I, based on what the Attorney General said, disciplinary counsel said, I feel that I should respond to you very briefly, and then I'll go on to what I had come here to say, and to come here to ask you, rather. I believe that the disciplinary counsel had the case. They had all the opportunity to investigate and do all that they should have done, and the disciplinary counsel and counsel for the Kimberly entered into the Kimberly Trumbo entered into stipulation. So I think, as justices, we all know that the stipulation is what the counsel has entered into. And now to come back and attack with the stipulation seems to be not proper to me, and that's for you to make that decision. I want to say to you only one thing this morning. Kimberly is truly sorry for what has happened and what she did. And at this time, she was trying to get her life, put her life together. And I know you hear a lot of criminal cases, and the criminals, that's the first thing they tell you. We're trying to get to getting our life together, and we're going to move on with our life. Kimberly is truly sorry for what she's done. There's no criminal activity here. There's been no money stolen or anything of that sort. Kimberly is now in counseling and has been in counseling since this matter started. She has the help and the support of her family. Her sister is here with her. She has four other siblings besides herself, and she has one of her siblings is here with her. Kimberly is not actively practicing law, and she will not. The request of you is to follow the recommendation of the panel.
Counsel, I wasn't able to hear your last. You said Kimberly is not actively practicing law.
No, she's not.
And then you said, and she will.
She will comply with the recommendation that the disciplinary council has recommended to this panel.
Okay, misunderstood you. I thought you said she will not. I thought you were making some representation as to what her future plans were.
No, I did not, Mr. Justice. I did not. I was not quite finished, but I will finish, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you want to answer, that you would like to ask me. We're all lawyers, and we know that we make a great deal of sacrifice to become lawyers. And to suspend someone who goes through the process of being a lawyer, and I feel like Kimberly's a good lawyer. She's a better lawyer than I'd ever be, and I've been a lawyer for over 40 years. I would ask you and petition you, please do not suspend Kimberly indefinitely. I would ask that you would follow the recommendation of the panel that was appointed to hear this matter. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trimble, let me ask you a couple of questions, if I may. If we were to adopt the recommendation of the Board of Commissioners on Grievances and Discipline, it appears to me they're recommending that there be a monitoring during the period of probation. How would we know, as you know, that the certain suspension, 1 year, 2 years, certain, the person, the lawyer, merely applies to be reinstated and is reinstated without a review by the court except for just the basic matters. How would we know at the end of a year that Ms. Trumbo won't continue to do what she did that got her into this trouble? How would we know that?
Well, I the only suggestion that I have would say, Justice, that she would report back to the court.
So what your suggestion is that we would require, in effect, that she do what an attorney does under the indefinite suspension, and that is to show to the court that there is good reason for us to believe that the conduct for which the lawyer was sanctioned would not reoccur. Is that what you're suggesting, that at the end of the year she would do that?
Justice, I'm not certain I understand. I don't know what you do. I don't know what a lawyer does when you're indefinitely suspended.
With indefinite suspension, the lawyer has to do more than simply indicate by a form that there are no other disciplinary cases filed against them or pending against them, that they've paid the cost and so forth. at the end of the year, if they do that by affidavit, essentially their license is restored to them. Indefinite suspension, they have to do more than that. They have to do all that. They have, and they also have to indicate to the court that in essence, that we should believe that the conduct for which they were sanctioned would not occur again. And so they have to indicate that in some way. And I guess that's one of my concerns with the sanction that the board recommended, is that there is really no provision. They recommend that there be monitoring, but there's no requirement that anything happen during the monitoring. I'm not sure what the monitoring would do. I guess it's clear from my comments, I'm rather astounded, frankly, that a daughter of two outstanding judges would come to us with this sort of a record of dishonesty. I guess I'm just trying to get to some, you know, try to find out what's the right sanction here. It doesn't seem to me that the board sanction recommended is hits the mark with this sort of conduct.
Chief Justice, and I'm just the lawyer.
Doesn't mean I'm any smarter. I just mean I have to make the decision. Doesn't mean I'm any smarter. Just means I have to make the decisions.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
You don't really mean that.
He only meant the last part of my
question. I would certainly ask that you, if it's necessary, and I guess maybe this is a proper way to ask your question, Mr. Justice, is it, if it's necessary for her to report that way to the Supreme Court, we have no objection. We would do that. I would just ask that you follow the recommendation of the panel that heard all of the evidence in the matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Brown, you've saved almost 3 minutes of your time.
Thank you. In this case, the stipulations that we entered into speak loud and clear, and they set forth serious offenses, serious violations of the Code of Professional Responsibility. On the contrary, the mitigation evidence in this case was uncertain. This case yells for an indefinite suspension. I'm unsure in a case like this, in response to your question about monitoring and reporting and those types of things, I'm uncertain whether this is even a case at this point that justifies a monitor. I don't know. Given the nature of the violations, I'm not so sure how successful a monitoring relationship would be. That is another one of the reasons that we're asking for an indefinite suspension.
Ms. Brown, that's kind of one of the things that I was going to ask Mr. Trumbo, and it's bothering me with this whole case. Have you had any contact with the respondent or the respondent side with regard to this counseling being talked about? And let me tell you why I'm asking. What kind of counseling can there be to overcome blatant deceit?
I'm not sure, Your Honor.
Do you know about, I mean, it must be, maybe they're treating an underlying cause. Do you know anything about it? Have you been informed at all?
No. The only thing I know, which is what is part of the record, is the letter from the psychiatrist that was submitted to us on the Friday before the hearing. That's all I know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion.